It's my honor this morning to read the scripture that Greg will be preaching, teaching from. And I got to preview this scripture that Greg is going to be handling, the word of the Lord. And I love Greg and Wendy and what they have gone through. And their real life, he's the kind of guy to handle this scripture this morning. He's not going to be coming from us from high theology or any other thing. And thank you, Lord, for that. James chapter 2, verse 18. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, other people have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. If you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God, well, good for you. Even the demons believe this. And they tremble in terror. How foolish! Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on that altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. The word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. I don't know how anybody in this world can walk out into a day like today and not believe there's a God. I just love this valley. We had pouring down rain and storm and wind, and you step outside this morning, sun's out, a little windy, but man, it's beautiful here. Praise the Lord. We have our own Garden of Eden. Now let me pray for us, and then we'll get into God's word this morning. Father God, we thank you for this new day. We thank you for each day that you give us to trust you, Lord. We live in a world that is seemingly in chaos, swirling all around us, and you are the one thing that is constant, the one thing that we can stand on, Lord, to keep us grounded. We look outside today and we see this glorious day that you have made for us, Lord, and we know you are real. We just ask for understanding of your word this morning, Lord. Help me to get out of the way of your message. Just give us understanding, Lord. Touch our hearts with your word and lead us in the path that we should go forward. We love you and we just give you all the glory for what you do in our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, James had invited us into a conversation about the nature of faith. He asked if faith without works can save us. His resounding answer was faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. This faith, however real we believe it to be, if it does not pass the test of God's word, it is dead. Dead faith is energized by man's power and vulnerable to man's weakness. It is a product of a man-made God, a dead God, and cannot save us. There is only one living God who gives the gift of living faith. He gives it to those who believe in his Son. James has described dead faith for us. So what does living faith look like? It is faith that is alive and active. Romans 1 tells us the good news of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Living faith is energized by the power of God. Faith begins when we believe in the object of faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you remember back in James chapter 1, verse 18, James said that of his own will, God brought us forth by the word of truth. Jesus said it this way, we must be born again. Living faith has at its foundation our new birth. Charles Spurgeon said, the new birth would be a thing to be ridiculed if it did not produce in us hatred of sin and a love of holiness. When we are born again, by the Spirit of God, we become a new creation in Christ. We no longer love the world and now desire to do the will of God. We now have a hatred for sin and a love for righteousness. This transformation is not immediately perfect nor complete, but we are made complete as we grow in our faith each day. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It takes a lifetime of faithful obedience to grow to maturity in faith as we are daily sanctified by God's word. James has outlined some of the characteristics of living faith in the tests of faith he has already given to us. We see in those characteristics that living faith is not passive, but it is active. In chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, living faith has peace in trials and responds with joyful perseverance to those trials. In verse 13, living faith responds to temptation and sin with self-control and accountability. In verse 22, living faith responds to God's word with obedience. In chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, living faith loves our neighbor as ourself. And in verses 15 and 16, living faith prompts compassionate help for others in need. Today's scripture establishes for us the sixth test of living faith, the test of works. Living faith makes itself known through good works. Verses 18 and 19, but some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe that and shudder. To the person who has a knowledge of God and says he has faith, James asks, what evidence do you have to support your claim of faith? By definition, faith cannot be seen. James is putting faith to the test. He is saying that if our faith is only evident to others when we say so, and not evident by the way we live our life, we are deceiving ourselves. James exhorts his Jewish brothers who have a knowledge of God. This knowledge is the Orthodox Jewish doctrine found in the Shema, which is the Jewish confession of faith. All right, that's an inside joke between Ryan and I. It is recited twice daily by devout Jews. Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This person has a knowledge of God, but does not have the appropriate heart response to that knowledge. James compares this faith to the faith of demons. The demons also have an orthodox belief in God. These demons are the angels whom God cast out of heaven with the devil because of their rebellion. They knew God intimately, but rather than submitting to him, they chose to rebel against him, coming under his condemnation and wrath. Because these demons have a correct belief of who God is, their fear is the appropriate response because they are disobedient. They are utterly terrified because they are under his judgment and condemnation, but they will not submit to him. The demons cry out to Jesus, "Why? What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Living faith does not fear God. It believes God and submits to the lordship of Jesus Christ. When we believe, we are justified by faith and declared righteous before God. Paul tells us in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We are individually called to this living faith. This is the common faith we share together as the body of Christ. I believe Paul expresses well what living faith looks like in us and in the unity of the body of believers in Colossians 3:14 through 16. "And above all things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Living faith puts love for God and love for each other above all things. The peace of God rules in our hearts, and we are thankful no matter our situation. We must be so familiar with the word of Christ that it is an inseparable part of our life. We not only take it in, but we must live it out. Our hearts are continually bent toward worshiping God. The central theme of living faith is to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. Wendy and I have witnessed and experienced this living faith in action since we arrived here at our church. There have been so many members of this body who have been enduring various trials. Some are still going through these trials. But the love of Christ through living faith in this body is very evident to us. Through your faithful obedience to the truth, the love of Jesus has been poured out in support and comfort of those who are hurting. You shared in and helped bear our burdens and encouraging one another to remain focused on the only one who can give us strength to endure. Praise the Lord, living faith in this church is not just lip service, but it is the love of Jesus Christ in action. James now brings the truth of God's word to bear on the foolish man whose faith is just lip service and does not produce good works. Verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? This foolish man is anyone who does not understand that living faith is not just lip service. Living faith transforms the heart and bears fruit of good works. This foolish man deceives himself by believing that his faith will save him. He has an outward form of godliness, but denies its power to transform him. He does not walk in obedience to God. James comes to the heart of the matter using Abraham as our example. In verses 21 through 24, we read, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. James clearly says that Abraham was justified by his works and not by faith alone. That by works, faith was made perfect. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. The story of Abraham begins in Genesis 12. His name here is Abram, which God later changed to Abraham. God called Abram to leave his country and promised he would make Abram into a great nation. The book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 11, verses 8 through 9, that by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called by God. Abraham's faith is established here in Genesis 12. We then pick up his story again in Genesis 15. God came to Abram in a vision. In Genesis 15, 1 through 3, we read, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. In the beginning, God was clear in his promise to Abram. He would make him a great nation. Abram responded in faith and had been diligently living by faith. Now we see a moment of doubt. Abram cannot see how God can possibly fulfill his promise since he has no son as heir. In your own walk of faith, can you relate to Abram? I can. I have lived this on and off battle with doubt for nearly a year now with Wendy's health condition. I at times cannot see how God will work out our future. To live by faith is to trust God completely with our life, regardless of whether we can see how our current situation will be resolved. Our walk of faith is not going to be perfect. We will at times have doubts. We will step out on our own, making plans on how we will fulfill God's will. And yet God has a better plan. So what then should we do when we begin to have doubts about God's plan for us? When we feel we do not know what we should be doing? I would like to share some words of wisdom that were given to me long ago from a very special man. Ask yourself one very simple question. What was the last thing God clearly told me to do? Then keep doing whatever God said until he tells you to do something different. Living faith leaves God in the driver's seat. We can have peace and joy when we know that we have completely given the outcome of our life to him. God assured Abraham that he would provide him with an heir born in his own house, and his descendants would be as numerous as the stars of the sky. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Living faith believes God, trusting that he will do what he says. Sarah was past the age of childbearing. Abraham's faith endured until God fulfilled his promise by miraculously giving them a son in their old age. Abraham now had received the son who would be the heir God had promised. But God was not done with Abraham yet. He then put Abraham's faith to the test. In Genesis 22, 1 through 2, we read, After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. God commands Abraham to take Isaac, his only son, the heir of the promise, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Human sacrifice was a common practice of the pagan nations of that day, but it was forbidden by God's law. How did Abraham respond? Did he doubt what God said? Did he argue with God? Did he ask for time to pray about it? No. Abraham responded with living faith. He understood what God said and acted immediately without resistance or argument. He trusted God, knowing he would keep his promise no matter what he asked, even if it meant raising Isaac from the dead. Again, Hebrews tells us in 11:17-19, by faith, when he was tested, Abraham offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. When we know that God has clearly called us to action, do we trust him and move out in faith? Or do we hesitate because fear causes us to doubt? Do we put off doing what God clearly said? By committing it to prayer. Do we put off doing what God has clearly called us to do by committing it to prayer? Don't misunderstand me. Prayer is powerful and effective. However, it is one thing to commit ourselves to prayer so we can understand the will of God. It is completely different to know God's will and not act on it. We see Abraham's faith confirmed by his actions. He had been justified by faith some 50 years before he offered Isaac on the altar. It is through this act of obedience to God in offering Isaac as a sacrifice that his faith was proven to be real. This was living faith confirmed by his obedience to God. James continues with the testimony of Rahab. Now, I understand the testimony of Abraham. He was considered the father of the Jews. But why the testimony of a prostitute? In verses 25 and 26, James says, "And in the same way was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." The story of Rahab is told in Joshua chapter 2. Rahab proclaims her faith in God to the spies that she was hiding. In Joshua 2, verses 10 and 11, Rahab says, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heavens above and on the earth beneath." The book of Hebrews tells us that Rahab's faith was proven by her actions. Her faith was confirmed by what she did. Living faith and good works are inseparable. Living faith is the evidence of salvation. Good works are the evidence of living faith. I'm going to say it again. Living faith is the evidence of salvation. Good works are the evidence of living faith. We see in these two witnesses that God's grace is impartial. Whether we are of God's chosen people like Abraham, the father of the Jews, or a Gentile living in the world like a prostitute named Rahab, living faith is available to all who will believe and trust God. There is only one faith that saves. It is living faith that is a gift from the only living God. Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." For us today, living faith believes and trusts that God sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. Being reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can now live in peace with God. We can only do this through the life of Jesus Christ dwelling in us. Living faith proclaims to the world, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Living faith is revealed in our actions. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John 3, "By this we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for us. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before God." Let the peace of God rule in your heart today as you go out. Let us show the world our faith, not only with our words, but also with the good works that God has prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you today as humbled by your amazing glory, Lord. We are humbled at the very sound of your word. We pray, Lord, for transformed hearts. We pray for the courage to walk in living faith, Lord, with our eyes not focused on the things around us, not walking by faith, not walking by sight, but walking by faith, that we might know, Lord, that you are the end, that you are in the driver's seat, that you, Lord, are taking us where we need to go. You are going to make provision for us because you love us. You love us so much that your Son died on the cross for us, and we love you, Lord. We thank you for this day, and we just give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.